Welcome to today's conference call. My name is Bakiba, and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Adam Hopkins. Adam Hopkins, you may begin.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the NXT TakeOver conference call. For those who were part of the last conference call, welcome back, and for those who are new to the call, welcome. We hope to do more of these as we continue to do NXT events on WWE Network. Without any further ado, I'd like to turn things over to WWE's Executive Vice President of Talent, Creative, and Live Events, Paul "Triple H" Levesque.
Hey, guys. Once again, saving you from the music in the background. As I remember last time, it was not much better. Thanks for being here today. Really excited again to be on this call and to be at the point we're at, coming off of the success of February's NXT Arrival special on the WWE Network. Really excited to present TakeOver tomorrow from Full Sail University on the WWE Network from 8 to 10. And as you know, there'll be a pre-show at 7:30. Very excited once again for the opportunity for all these young up-and-coming stars to show what they do and hopefully to show the world and all of you that the future of the WWE is very secure from a talent perspective. So with that, let's open it up.
Great. Thank you. We will now begin the question-and-answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. And if you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. There will be a delay before the first question is announced. If you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you do have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. And please stand by for our first question. Okay, and our first question is going to come from Mike Johnson. Mike, please state your sector.
Mike Johnson, pwinsider.com. Hi, Paul. How are you today?
I'm doing great, man. How are you, Mike?
I'm good. With the success of Arrival, obviously, are we going to see more of the live specials? When I spoke to you last time, you were adamant that you kind of wanted NXT to remain what it is because the whole point of NXT is to get guys ready and get them up to the main roster. Here's another special, another live special. Are we going to get to the point where maybe these are going to be a monthly thing or a regular thing on the network going forward?
I don't know that monthly is something we're thinking of, although, listen, with the WWE, never say never, right? But I'm excited where we're at. Arrival was an opportunity for us to show something else other than the main core product of the WWE of Raw and SmackDown, the main roster. I thought we did that, and we did it in an amazingly successful way to the point of recently, Vince even has been very outspoken about we not only showed some of our upcoming talent, we launched a brand, and I truly believe that as well. We launched NXT into being a full-blown brand. That being said, I don't want to lose perspective of what it is. The goal of all of these guys is to be on Raw, to be on SmackDown, to be at WrestleMania, and to be the biggest stars in the business. That's why they're here. I think right now what we're planning on, hopefully, and it all pans out, is doing these specials on the WWE Network quarterly. I think it gives them the talent. And I look at the opportunity for NXT as a learning perspective from everybody that touches our business top to bottom. We train camera guys here. We train audio techs. We train lighting crew. We train directors and producers and all of it. And for them to have the opportunity to work side by side with our key players, but then also have the opportunity to do it live on a quarterly basis like this, no different than the talent. Live TV, there's a whole different buzz level. As much as they buzz when we do TV out of Full Sail on a regular basis, when we come to one of these specials and it's live, and it's, I think I said it back then at Arrival, this is like a WrestleMania to these guys and girls. It's just an amazing opportunity. Live presents a whole different ballgame. There is no net. There's no safety. It just is. And you live or or don't on your own. And that's really exciting to them. But it's a whole nother level of challenge that, let's face it, when they get to Raw, that is the challenge every single week. You know, a little bit less on SmackDown, but when you're on Raw, it's live. And when you're at pay-per-view, it's live. And they have to get used to that as well. And it's a whole different world. So I'm really excited for that opportunity, not losing perspective of what it is, but also I do believe that there is room and there is opportunity for a whole nother brand and to create some buzz and some hype around stars like an Adrian Neville, where you see this amazing talent, or a Sami Zayn, and then you think to yourself, wow, what happens when he hits the roster? What happens when he hits the ring with Daniel Bryan? What happens when he hits the ring with John Cena? What happens when he hits the ring with Bray Wyatt? You know, those are the questions that having this brand bring up, it allows that what if scenario that we don't necessarily have anymore.
Right. One more question, then I'll jump back into queue. Are you happy with the transition of the recent NXT stars who have come to the main roster so far? We've seen Emma and Adam Rose and Paige start to pop up on Raw and SmackDown and start to sort of find themselves on the main roster. In certain cases, with Adam Rose especially, the presentation seems to me to be a little different from what it was in NXT. Is it hard to transition guys, maybe even from a creative perspective, from their NXT personas to what they become in the main roster, even as NXT becomes more developed and becomes something that the larger audience is more aware of?
Absolutely. It's a difficult transition. One, just because something translates here, when I say here, I'm in Orlando, so it translates in Orlando at Full Sail and with NXT, doesn't necessarily mean it translates in front of 10,000 people in a large arena in a big, in LA or someplace else. It's the presentation is slightly different. And also, don't lose perspective. As much as we prepare these guys, and I don't care how long you've been throwing, you've been the starting pitcher in AAA baseball, you get a shot to go pitch at the Yankees, it's a different level. And there's a transition period, and I see it in guys that are as confident as could be, and they get up there and they're different. You know, it's just a transition. I'll take a guy like Cesaro, who has been coming into his own, and I don't feel like I'm speaking out of turn. I would say this if he was here, but for probably at least a year, maybe more, Cesaro was wrestling down here at NXT while he was on the main roster. And I would, every time I would watch him work on NXT, I would go to him after and I would pull him aside after the show and say, do that when you get to Raw, do that when you get to SmackDown, you work differently. And he knew it. He just couldn't help it. You know, it's not just cut and dry, walk to the ring and do what you do. There's a lot of emotional factors that play into it. And that's on the talent side. And then there's the production side. There's so many factors that go into creating a star and to creating a talent and giving them the platform to succeed and then tweaking it, what works here, what doesn't work here, what works up there, what doesn't work up there. There's so many factors to it. If you ask me, am I happy with the success? My God, I couldn't be more happy. I mean, I'll be honest with you, how I came to the name Takeover is because, you know, when you look at social media and you look at the response that NXT gets, and then you look at the main roster and you start to look at the Wyatts and the Shield and Rusev and Paige and Sandow and Cesaro and, that list goes on and on, Bo Dallas, Adam Rose. It's like NXT is taking over Raw and SmackDown. There's such an influx of new faces that you can look back at and say, wow, you know, a year ago, Bray Wyatt wasn't really even fully on this roster. That whole group. And it to me, that's an amazing testament to those talent and how hard they work. But I'm thrilled with it. It's working wonderfully. As far as I'm concerned, are they all going to be home runs day one? Absolutely not. But to think that is ridiculous.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. And then our next question is going to come from Brian Fritz. Please state your sector.
Sure, the Orlando Sentinel. How are you doing today, Paul?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. With NXT right now, basically the shows that are airing on the WWE Network for the weekly show have been taped about one, or you're doing tapings about once a month. Has there been any talk about maybe doing those more often?
You know, it's been thrown around here and there, and obviously all of this is constantly a work in progress of trying to figure out the best mix of doing it and the best way to make it happen. You know, the more often you're shooting, the cost goes up, the more opportunity that, or the more times that you're coming in here and going live, the cost goes up, the wear and tear on everybody goes up. You know, it's not as simple as just saying, hey, I love to do it live every week. Sure, that'd be great. But there's a lot of factors involved. I think all of it is on the table, and we're just kind of trying to figure out what works best and what's the best mix, not only for us, but, you know, Full Sail, who, you know, they're an amazing partner for us. And I couldn't be more thrilled. We just celebrated our 2-year anniversary working with Full Sail, and, you know, they're amazing partners for us in this deal and the way we work with the students. And, you know, we are constantly trying to be conscious of their schedule and their commitments as well, and trying to be good partners to them. So there's a lot of factors involved in it. But as far as have we thought about it, absolutely. We're constantly thinking about it. We think about it all the time. And where it ends up, I'm not sure yet.
I know that when the Performance Center first opened up, you said that was just one big step in evolving the developmental system for WWE, and now you've got NXT and the show and the partnership, like you said, with Full Sail. What's the next step in continuing that development?
Well, I mean, the next steps are now finding the right people and the right talent to make the Performance Center and NXT as productive as possible. You can have the greatest facility in the world. Now we have to find the athletes and the personalities and the right human beings to fill the roles and to make it successful. And that's really right now my biggest, I think I'm happy with how the system is working, and I'm not taking my foot off that pedal at all, or my eye off my focus off that. But I'm really looking now at working with our recruiting department on, you know, globally going out there. And we just had a big tryout in Europe. We've had tryouts in Abu Dhabi. We have tryouts coming up globally. We're recruiting constantly and all over the globe. Our guys just got back from Brazil. We're everywhere. And, you know, it's a global brand, and we're trying to find global talent that can not only affect a region, but that can succeed on a global level. And that's the biggest thing for me now.
Thanks for the time, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. And then our next question is going to come from David Bixton. Please state your sector.
Hi, it's David Bixton from Bleacher Report. Hi, Paul.
Hey, David. How are you?
Good. So I wanted to touch on something. I think was it Mike? You were talking to Mike about sort of the adjusting to the big arenas with the new gimmicks and all that. And I was wondering if, in terms of guys who have experience working in big arenas in Japan and Mexico, and obviously it's still very different from WWE, have you seen them have an easier time adjusting to that?
You know, I think a little bit some way, you know, it's not the bigger arenas as far as, oh my God, there's so many people out there. Some of these guys have wrestled in front of big crowds before, but there's a difference of, you know, it's like saying you go to the Super Bowl. Well, it's the same stadium you played in during the season, and it's the same football game, but this one's the Super Bowl, and holy cow, it's the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, what changes? Your mental outlook of the game changes, and I think that's what happens here. These guys come in, you know, whether people want to look at it that way or not, you know, you come into the WWE, you're stepping into a whole different world. And we're looking to do it in the way that we want to do it. And they come in here, and it's a globally seen product with more eyeballs on them, not in the arena per se necessarily, but it, on a global basis than ever before. I mean, it is the big time. They have hit the big time, and it's intimidating. It just is, and I don't really care who you are. I think it's intimidating. I think that even back in you know, you go back to the Monday Night War, you'd have a guy step over from WCW. You know, it didn't matter when they stepped over to walking into the big arena or to Madison Square Garden, and it was the WWE, and it was their first time in, and then it's a whole different ballgame, and people's emotions and their mental state are completely different. So that's a curve. You know, I'll look at Bray Wyatt and say Bray right now is just becoming comfortable. That's really how I feel. And people can say, now listen, has he been knocking it out of the park since he walked in the door? Absolutely. But he is just now, to me, from what I see and what I know of him, he's just starting to get comfortable. That kid is nicking the surface of where he's going to go because he's just now starting to feel it, and he's just now starting to get in the groove. It takes a while.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. It just takes a while for anybody, and I don't care where you've come from and who you've wrestled in front of.
So you'd say then it's more of just a person-by-person attitude type thing than where exactly they've been. But it's more of someone like Daniel Bryan, super unflappable, would have made the transition easier just because that's who he is.
Yeah, I think that's it's his personality a little bit, right? He's just a little bit different personality-wise. But even then, listen, if the styles are different, I mean, if you've come in from working other places, if you've come in from working Japan, it's a different style. You come in from working in Mexico, it's a different style. You know, our playbook and our business is different. And it's a comfort level. You got to get used to that comfort level. And, you know, listen, there are Daniel Bryan's a prime example of that. He's not the same guy he was 5 years ago working there. He had a transition too of becoming a character and a personality and a persona, you know, and that's where he is now. It didn't change what he does in the ring. It didn't change his skill level. It didn't change anything. But I've always believed that the business is a puzzle, and there's a million pieces of it. And one is skill in the ring. Another is talking, another, you know, there's all these different pieces. The more pieces of that puzzle that you have, the better of a success you're going to be. And, you know, there were some pieces of the puzzle he had in spades, and then there were others that he didn't have, and now he does, and that's why you see his success. No different than anybody else. It's putting all those pieces together. Every audience that you perform in front of globally, and any performer can tell you this, they're all different. This is no different. Vince will always say communication first law of it is knowing your audience. What do they want? How do they receive your message? And that's really all we're doing is telling stories in the ring. So the WWE audience receives those messages in a particular way, and you just have to learn how to give it to them that way.
Now, this takeover feels like it has, yes, more of a main roster presence than Arrival did, I guess, because it's main roster talent in the title matches. Going forward, like, how much do you see, whether it's people from the undercard who have gotten kind of lost in the shuffle, which I guess you could say applies sort of to Tyson Kidd, or someone coming to more just because of their experience and all that, like Natalya, how much do you see, of main roster wrestlers mixing in? Obviously more on the specials and the TV than on the house shows, but is that going to become a bigger part of NXT in the future?
No, I think that when I can use a main roster star that is maybe not involved in something massive in NXT to help the storyline, there's two different components to this. One, the component I talked about before is never losing that feeling that this is developmental and what these guys are and girls are all here for. The main roster stars can help them. That's And that's one component of it. The other component is putting on a TV show and telling some good, compelling stories. So if I can weave a main roster guy in there or a main roster diva in there that can help somehow create this, take this star to the next level or help give them a rub, or in the case of a Tyson Kidd, a guy that is, you know, he's had some success on the roster and then he's had some setback on the roster and then he had an injury. He's still visible because of, you know, Total Divas, and it's an opportunity. You know, I believe in Tyson, and I think he's a very talented guy. And I like, you know, in coming up with the concept of this, it was like, okay, I'd like to give him that opportunity to go out there that, let's face it, right now he's probably not going to get a Raw or SmackDown. He's not going to get 20 minutes to go out there and show what he can do. And I can give him that here, and maybe that sparks another level for him. And if I can use him in NXT for a while, that reinvigorates his career. To me, it's all about making stars for the roster, for Raw, SmackDown. I look at it as one big whole piece. So if there's a guy that's not where he needs to be or could be, and I can give him that opportunity through NXT, great. If there's a situation, you know, like Natty's in, where I feel like she can really add some credibility and some you know, something and a learning experience to the Divas roster and add some credibility to a tournament to reestablish the women's champion at NXT, then great. I want to use him for that. You know, I had the talk with Cesaro after Arrival, and he had that phenomenal match with Sammy. And, you know, he'll be here, and he's here today. I just got done training, and he's in the gym. And, you know, he loves it here, and he wants to, if he could, he'd work every single time we ran here. And I just said, you know, hey, we're the position you're in now on the main roster, I'm not going to use you for a while in NXT, and I can't have you in the ring there all the time, and I can't be running programs with you there. I want you to succeed in the main roster and keep doing that and moving up. So it's great, but he helped, working at NXT helped make him into a more polished superstar. And at the same time he was doing that, he helped guys like Sami Zayn. He helped guys like Neville and Dallas, and he helped them learn to get up to that next level. They're comfortable with him now. And, you know, when they come up to Raw and SmackDown, even if it's just to go on a live event loop or whatever, you know, he's a resource for them. And it's really cool because there's a bonding. And I'll tell you, one of the coolest things about NXT is, and this whole group here, is the amount of support. They are all so happy for each other. When somebody gets called up, it's like, you know, one of their family members just hit the lotto. They're all so excited for them. But yet it also lights a fire under them to, like, man, that should have been me. I want to be next. And, you know, it's a really great environment. It's very – I know you hear this probably from – we say it probably whenever we do these things, but it's an infectious mental state here that, like, it's one of my favorite things. As much as it sometimes is difficult, you know, time-wise and commitment-wise, being down here every time and doing all this stuff, I love it because it reinvigorates me to the business every time I'm here. These guys just have such passion for it.
Last thing I wanted to ask, and then they can just drop me back into the queue. Earlier there was some talk about, you know, what the Wholesale crowd reacts to differently from the big arena crowds across the country. Have you considered at all, like, pulling back just kind of on certain things that I don't want to necessarily say a hipster crowd or a smart mark crowd or whatever would react to, just because of maybe a concern that you're getting, I don't know, false positive, so to speak?
No, listen, I'm so there's two sides to the coin. I'm trying to determine what will work. I'm on the main roster. I'm also trying to determine what works down here, because I've got to keep people coming back here, you know what I'm saying? And seeing these shows all the time, and NXT has to succeed on its own in order to be able to work to get people up to the roster. I've got to serve a couple of masters on this. So it's riding the line and finding what works. I'm very aware, as is you know, Vince, when he looks at the talent, which, you know, he looks at them at the higher level, but when he looks at talent, we're very aware of, and, you know, we're aware of what works here and why, and what we think will work on the roster and why, and what the differences are. And then there's also times where we say, you know what, not sure this is going to work, but let's try it. You know, let's try it and let's see where it goes. And, you know, not you have to have variety in the shows, and it's a three-hour show, and, you know, not everybody's going to come in and be the Wyatts and be scary, and not everybody's going to come in the Shield and be destructive, and not everybody's going to come in and be Rusev, and you've got to have fun, you've got to have exciting, you've got to have destructive, you've got to have a gamut of all these different characters and personalities. Are they all going to work? Absolutely not. If they did, holy cow. You know, I have a crystal ball or a fortune teller that's given me some good insight, because this is all, it's all guts and feel, and you're trying to see what's going to work and what doesn't. And clearly, there's stuff that we do here that I know when we do it. I'm feeding here. I'm feeding NXT, and I'm feeding here. I'm not feeding the roster, and I'm not feeding the globe. I'm doing this. And, you know, it's the changes that you have to make to go to the roster. Sometimes they're obvious, sometimes not, and they're a work in progress. And that's the way it is. But I, on all these talent, I also look at it as, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You know, guys don't have to be over in the first 30 days. That we've got to have stars for the long haul.
All right. Thanks, Paul. And someone else jump in now. I feel like I took up so much time.
That's right. My answers are long-winded.
Thank you. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone phone. And our next question is going to come from Jason Powell. Please state your sector. Your line is open.
ProWrestling.net. Good morning, Paul. Last time we talked, I asked you about the possibility of NXT doing live events as part of WrestleMania weekend, and you mentioned the possibility of doing even more than that. Can you give me any update on that situation?
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's something that we're always thinking about, you know, and especially now, given the size and the immensity of WrestleMania week, it's one of the things you gear up for WrestleMania every year, and then the second that it's over, you're not even done Raw the next night yet, and you're going, what can we do for next year's WrestleMania? So it's the positive, and it's part of the curse of WrestleMania. But yeah, I think we're looking at all of it as NXT, especially with the network, becomes bigger and becomes a brand. And if you were at Access this year to see the events that were there, and then to see the booth that we had, that fans could go and get autographs. There was never a moment at Access that booth didn't have a line of fans waiting to get autographs from these NXT stars that, you know, a few months prior, they didn't even know who they were. That's awesome. I think it opens doors for us to do a lot of things, to open up NXT events that whole week. I think it opens up for us to do a lot of other activities surrounded by NXT events, and it makes these guys stars. You know, for a lot of our fan base that goes to WrestleMania, if you could have gone back in time and got that Bray Wyatt rookie card when he very first started in NXT or whatever, you know, you fast forward a couple of years, it's pretty valuable have if you're a fan. So I think those are exciting opportunities. As far as how much further down the road we've gotten, we're at the part now where we're just kind of starting to look at what that week-long series of events become for WrestleMania week. So it's where do they go? Where do they fit in? You know, as we think about those things, it'll morph and it'll change. But NXT will definitely be a big part of WrestleMania week.
Are there any plans to place more of an emphasis on NXT as far as the network push is concerned? Because I was really impressed with the online buzz you guys generated for the last live special. I think the conference call was great, and then the actual NXT arrival show, obviously. But then it just kind of felt like things settled down quickly, and it just was kind of a return to business as usual. And I know there's a lot of shows to push for the network, but it just seems like having that that promotion that you can only see on the network would be a really good thing for WWE Network.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's to your point, we did the NXT Arrival special like week one of a network launch. And then all of a sudden, it's weird. Everybody was concentrated on getting the network going. And then there was this little thing that called WrestleMania happened. And, you know, it's there's always something going on. And I think a little bit NXT, I'll go on a limb and say it wasn't a surprise to me or a few other people, but there were some people I think that were surprised at the amount of interest that NXT got. And to be honest, Vince has said he was one of them. He thought it would do well and he thought there would be some interest in it. But when they showed him the numbers of the people that watched and when they showed him the social buzz and when they showed him all the stuff off of Arrival and himself watching it, he was blown away. You know, and that was when he made the comment of, oh, my God, you guys launched a brand. I was expecting you to do a cool little show and you launched a brand. And I think it a little bit took people by surprise and we're trying to catch up on that now. And this this takeover special is kind of the next step in this evolving process. And I can say, you know, it's one of those things that it seems like it's been a long time, but geez, we literally just put this on the network in February. The network's just running. It's still very much gearing up and NXT is going to be a big part of that. It's one of the top shows every single week on the network. It's one of the top most watched shows. It's one of the shows that gets the most social buzz every single week on the network. I think doing this special is a way to capitalize and take that momentum to another level to help carry us forward. I think you'll see this time that while last time we kind of survived on our own, this time, you know, there's been promotion on Raw and SmackDown. There's been promotion other places for the show. So it's you know, slowly but surely is going to get more and more push. And as the brand continues to grow and expand, and as the network continues to grow and expand, I think you're going to see NXT become a bigger and more prominent part of it. But it's just time.
I'll sneak in one more. Can you confirm that Tough Enough is going to be filmed at the Performance Center? And I'm also curious if there's going to be, if it will be all developmental talent or if it's going to be more of a casting call type situation.
So I know that right now we're looking at doing Tough Enough. I think we're looking, I don't know of an exact time frame. It's being proposed that we shoot it through the Performance Center. As far as it being confirmed exactly, I don't know, you know, I think, but I don't know that 100%. You know, it's a work in progress. We're trying to figure out the best way to do it, the best way to make it happen, and in the best time frame that allows us to put out the obviously the best show possible. But Tough Enough is definitely on the radar right now, and the Performance Center has been a big part of that discussion.
Well, thanks for the time and best of luck with the show tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And then our next question is going to come from Dave Meltzer. Please go ahead. Your line is open. State your sector.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
I'm great, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, there's a couple of things I wanted to ask. But first, do you have any kind of like a medical update on Rey Mysterio and Christian and when they're if they're cleared or when they're cleared or exactly, you know, what the situation is? Because they've both been out for a while, and there really hasn't been much talk about either of them.
Yeah, I will actually see Christian tomorrow, and Ray, I have a phone call coming up with. As far as their medical, obviously I can't talk about that for HIPAA laws and reasons, but I think that they're both recovering and trying to get their injuries under control, and I know how that feels, and hopefully they'll be back as soon as they can.
And, you know, when it comes to, I mean, I've been reading some of this stuff, and I know you've hired, or you've worked with Joe DeFranco, and you've got, you know, different strength coaches. What is the difference? It feels to me that the training, you know, as far as what you call it bodybuilding training or sports performance training, that the guys are doing now, both on the main roster and in developmental, and you've got structured programs, is very different from even, you know, 7, 10, 15 years ago, you know, where it felt like, you know, guys would go to the gym and do the basic bodybuilding moves, and now it just feels like you're doing, it's almost a very different type of training. I mean, is that accurate or?
Oh, absolutely accurate. And I mean, you know, I think that, you know, what causes people to one day, what caused me one day to look at it and go like, how come I don't train like an athlete? You know what I mean? I don't know. I just never, it was a mindset and a mentality of you just looked at it and, you know, you went to the gym, you trained and you worked out and you did all these things. I had never been exposed to, you know, strength and conditioning. I didn't play football, so I'd never had like a strength and conditioning coach. I didn't play it in college, but, you know, you go back and you look at The Rock and he did. And yet he still was, you know, went the bodybuilding route and was doing all the bodybuilding movements and all those things. It was just a mindset of what we did. None of us warmed up. None of us stretched. None of us did very much to, you know, kind of, I don't know, my music would hit and I'd walk to the ring. I figured as long as I walked to the ring at a moderately quick pace, I was warmed up by the time I got there. I don't, you know, somewhere along the way, it just, you realize, man, something needs to change. And as everybody started to change and started to make those changes to a different style of training, you very clearly start to see the difference of, wow, my mobility is better, my flexibility is better, I'm more durable, I'm truly functionally strong, as opposed to I don't understand why I can lift all this weight but I can't pick this guy up, you know, because it's not functional strength. And as you start to, as one guy starts to do that and it starts to click with him, other guys see him doing it and going like, boy, there's a big difference in him. I'm going to try to do that. He doesn't look any different. His physique hasn't changed really. You know, and it just becomes a different mindset. Do I think it's important? Absolutely. It's why it's one of the key components of the Performance Center. You know, uneducated people can look at it and go, oh, they like bodybuilders. What? It's nothing to do with that. Yeah, we want people to be in the best shape possible. My bigger thing here is I want them functionally strong, and I want them, we call it bulletproof, but I want them as, you know, I'm trying to let have guys have long careers and not be as injury prone. You know, you're still going to get injured no matter what you do, but it's a physical business. But at the same point in time, you can prevent a lot of them by this type of training and being functionally actively strong. And that's the goal. That is the goal. The look and all that stuff just kind of comes along with it, you know?
Does that include, I mean, are you doing when these guys are training, are they doing more heavier movements, or is it just more, you know, unique movements in a sense of that they're not like, you know, like we talk about like a typical bodybuilding, you know, press or whatever. It's something with, you know, inanimate objects that more represents, you know, I guess, you know, real world strength and pushing a weight, so to speak. But I mean, do you go heavier, or is it just using different apparatuses?
It's kind of the combo of everything. You want to be strong, but you want to be strong in what are functional movements. So like, you don't want a guy that can just bench press 500 pounds just on a linear movement and just in one plane of motion. You know, you see guys that are strong like that. They can bench press 500 pounds, but put them on a stability ball and ask them to do a push-up while their hands are on an unstable surface and they can't do one, because all those little muscles in between the joints and the ligaments and stuff aren't fully strong, you know. Or they can bench press 500 pounds, but they can't get their arm behind their back for a hammer lock, because they're incredibly strong at one particular thing. You want guys that are strong and girls that are strong, but functional. You know, we want them to be able to jump. We want them to be able to not just squat with some weight. We want them to be able to explode with that weight. So if you're catching somebody in the ring or you're having to move them in the ring, it's not this foreign movement. You know, human body is not a perfectly balanced thing. So when you're trying to pick it up and move it around, there's a lot of, it's all those little muscles, those stability muscles that come into play. And the reality of it is when those are strong, they actually make you stronger on all the other things, you know, in those linear movements. So it's kind of a combo of everything. It's a combo of, you know, strength, overall strength. It's a combination of power, which is different. It's functional ability, it's mobility of being able to, you know, if you're really strong, but your arm can only move a couple of inches, and in the ring, it gets forced past those couple of inches, something's going to give. You know, you have to have all those components of that mobility, and the more of those you have, the better off you are. And I think that's why you see guys more agile in the ring, more, you know, they can do more, but yet they're also more durable, and they can do all those things and kind of bounce right back. And guys take care of themselves a lot better than they used to, and are constantly trying to you know, work through their injuries on their own, as well as not just saying, oh, I'll stick some ice on it later and leave it alone, you know?
Daniel Bryan did an interview with Jericho a couple weeks ago on his podcast, and he said that he thought that, like, it would really be good for, you know, young talent. Of course, everyone kind of gravitates towards what they did as you know, and what we're successful at is kind of like the best way to do it. But, you know, he said that he thought it would be really good for young talent to go, you know, to be, you know, when they're training at some point, to be sent to Japan for 6 months and Europe for 6 months and work, you know, on a, you know, a daily basis or a regular basis in those different things to kind of, you know, open your eyes up to different styles as opposed to just one style. And I noticed one of the things that you've done to a degree, I mean, is incorporated trainers who come, at least from, you know, there's trainers that have that European background. And I know Kenta Kobayashi, I presume, is coming in. And I don't know if that has anything to do with training with a Japanese background. But what's kind of like your thoughts as far as that? Or do you think that going to other places and learning a different style, you know, because some guys have come in from a different style and then you got to reprogram them because it's, you know, they think that this is the way you wrestle and your style of wrestling is a little bit different. And you know, sometimes if you're, you know, you learn, you can kind of be mentally stubborn and it's a negative. So, I mean, what's kind of your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I think there's a lot of different styles, right? And there's a lot of different things to learn. I think those are great learning opportunities. There are guys here, in particular, it just happened recently. There's a guy here that I still think has something, and we just let him go out of developmental. And I said, listen, man, I'm not telling you you can't do this business, but I think you've learned what you're going to learn here. We've been trying, and we've got you to a certain level, and it's not changing. I'll help you get booked someplace else. I'll help you go to Japan. I'll help you go to, you know, all those guys. Their goal is to be back here. But if you can go somewhere else, pick up some things, learn some confidence, work every night. For some guys, it's just hearing something a different way or breaking through a barrier or just the confidence of going someplace else and just doing it, knowing that you came from the WWE and having a little swagger to your step when you get there maybe and just learning a different style and then coming back here and employing all those different things that you learn. It's you know, it's really this business. Every day you're going to learn. Every day, I don't care who you are. I learn something about this business every single day. I learn a lot when I'm here. I learn a lot when I'm on the roster. It changes. It morphs. Fans, what the fan base is into changes and morphs. All of it does. And I think the more well-rounded you are, the better. That being said, to your point, you can never get ingrained so much in a style that you can't do something else. I've said this to talent here that we have let go, that we're very talented, that it just wasn't working out because there's a certain point in time. I said, if you play for, and I'll probably botch this up because I'm not the biggest sports fan in the world, but if you play for, you know, the Raiders and they have a playbook, and you've run their playbook your entire career, and you know it inside and out, and that's the playbook, and you believe that that is the best playbook in the world, and then you go play for the Patriots, and the Patriots go like, yeah, hey, that the Raiders playbook sucks, dude. I want you to run this. And you go like, well, but no, I'm not going to – I don't know how to run those plays. I don't like those plays. I think the Raiders one is better. Well, you think that all day, but you play for the Patriots now, and they sign your check, so they want you to run this playbook. You got to learn that playbook, and you got to learn to employ that playbook, you know. And it's some guys are open to it and some guys aren't. And if you're not, then, well, maybe it doesn't work out. But if you are, you can still employ the things that you learn other places and say, hey, I know we do this, but you ever think about doing that? And maybe it opens it up and we change, the Patriots change their playbook a little bit to help incorporate those things. If they're smart, they're doing what works best for them, and they're constantly morphing the playbook anyways. But you have to be willing to adapt to it and work with it. So no matter where you go, you know, if a guy works here for a couple of years and we teach him one way and he goes to Japan, I'm sure they're looking at him going, what are you doing? You know, there's differences in styles and locations. When you get here, we want you to do it a certain way. But all those things that you learned other places are very important.
And also, any update, I mean, as far as the status of Kenny Kobayashi or Fergal Devitt coming in or starting or anything like that?
Who?
Kenta from
Wrestling Noah. I'm kidding.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, that was a joke. I'm sorry.
Right. No, I missed that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't have any comment on that. I've heard a lot of rumors.
Okay, cool. All right, thanks.
All right, guys, 45 minutes has flown by, so we'll take one more outlet, and then we'll wrap up the call.
Sorry, 45 minutes of me mostly talking.
Okay, then our next question is going to come from Jim Barcelone. Please go ahead. Your line is open and state your sector.
The Miami Herald, how is Charlotte progressing, and what can you say about her big match tomorrow? You got the Hearts versus the Flares.
Yeah, I mean, clearly Charlotte is progressing very well. She wouldn't be in the spot she's in. She's an amazing natural athlete. When I'm here sometimes and I see her do things in the performance center that I'm just like, God, it's just, you know, she's the girl that walks by the guys doing box jumps and goes, let me do that. And then does what they can't and makes them all hang their head in shame and then walks away, you know? She's great. And for her, you know, it's funny. She was a very naturally gifted, imagine that, and kind of the technical aspects of what we did, and it just took her a while to get past her insecurities and her, you know, get in her mind to not just play wrestler, to go out there and just be. And this is an amazing opportunity for her. You know, she's going to work with one of the best divas that we have or probably have had, and I think it's going to be a great opportunity. You know, one of the things that I love about NXT is the availability to give everybody the opportunity to go out there and really showcase what we do in a little bit more of a pure form. And this is one of those situations. And then, you know, in creating this this storyline for the show, you know, what better way to look at it and go, wow, and I can stick Flair out there and I can get Brett out there and I can just have this really cool moment. I mean, how can you as a fan not look at that and go, wow, this is just amazing to see this, you know, the Flair Bret Hart rivalry now transition down to the next generation. It's awesome, you know, and I for one, you know, part of me when I do these things, I put my fan hat on for a minute and go like, all right, here's the people I got to work with. What do I want to see? You know, what would I like to see? Just what would I like to watch? What would I tune into the network to see from an NXT standpoint? And that's kind of how we book it.
When you look at some of the NXT talent that have been brought up, like the Shield, the Wyatt family, Emma and Adam Rose. Paul, does it seem like there's more emphasis put on the ring entrance and the pageantry of it than there has been in the past? Or no, do you think it's just business as usual with these types of ring entrances?
No, absolutely. Listen, it's like I said before, Jim, you know, I'm trying, there's all these pieces to the puzzle, right? And let's face it, your entrance and your music and your presentation and what you're wearing, all those things are components to that presentation and to making a star. You know, if you're writing the movie Rocky, a big part of that movie is Apollo Creed coming to the ring just as Uncle Sam and throwing the money. And, you know, I mean, like, you don't just write that scene and Apollo Creed just walks to the ring and or doesn't have an entrance and he just gets announced in the ring. You know, it's part of the pageantry. We're writing a TV show and a movie, and that's how you create characters, right? And, you know, in the past, we've kind of just, all right, we give a guy some music and he goes to the ring, and then, hey, what are you going to do when you come out? And I don't know, I'm going to wave at the crowd and go up in the corner and put my hands up. And, you know, you got to figure that stuff out over time. That was just kind of what you did. Now, the Performance Center, Beauty of Performance Centers, we could step back prior to all that stuff and try to get these guys to a place where a lot of those kinks are worked out and a lot of those things are worked out. So we're not waiting 6 months to see, like, oh, this guy's got a pretty cool entrance now. It's coming out the chute maybe when he comes on Raw or SmackDown. He's got something really cool. And then even, you know, if they have a cool entrance like the Wyatts had, okay, so what can we do then to make that, as much as that worked here, what they did, how can we make that even cooler? How can I make that now more epic and more big main stage? And how can I make that more worthy of Raw and SmackDown? And that's what we do, you know, and you know, the lantern and the whole thing. I mean, that's all part of that process.
And lastly, Sean Merriman, a former football player, has he been in the past? Is there any talk of him joining NXT?
So, yeah, you know, Sean has done, obviously has done some analyst work for us and has done some stuff for the network. We are having conversations with Sean, and it's really going to come down to time and what he wants to do. And if Sean Merriman, you know, Sean has expressed to me he had two dreams growing up. One was to be an NFL superstar, and he did that, an NFL player, and the other was to be a WWE superstar. And he's done one, and now he's, I think, heavily contemplating trying to do the other. So we'll see. You know, we're in discussions, and we'll see what happens. We'll see where it goes. But he's a great guy and an amazing athlete and very smart. And you know, I think we'd love to have him. And it's we'll see where it goes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, folks, that wraps up today's conference call. Once again, you all have an open invite to come down and check out the Performance Center. If you have not done so already, please feel free to check in with me, and we'll make sure you guys get a proper tour.
Performance Center, also, you know, any of these NXT shows that you guys would love to come to, the you know, if it's one of the specials or if it's just a taping, you want to come and get a tour and see what kind of goes on behind the scenes and how we work with the kids and all that. I'd love to have you, any of you, come down. That would be interested to you. Can contact Adam. You know, also, I think this is a really important forum for everybody. Hopefully everybody feels that way. And if you do, and we continue to move forward with these specials, I think it'd be a great opportunity for us to get together on all these and really get into, you know, NXT and the whole development system, and just make it clear that the future's going to be good.
Thank you, everybody. Enjoy NXT TakeOver tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.